Adventure presents the Westinghouse Desilu Playhouse. Tonight's show, The Untouchable. Starring Robert Stack. Co-starring Keenan Wynn, Barbara Nichols, and Pat Crowley. With special guest star Neville Brand.
Chicago, 1929. By law, the country was dry. Through connivance with Al Capone, Chicago was wet. Even now, while Al Capone served a short term for carrying a gun in Philadelphia, the organization functioned smoothly, helped by corrupt officials and a public that was indifferent. Social headquarters of the mob was the Café Montmartre. This night, the night of June 17th, 1929, the gang was to encounter its chief adversary, a prohibition agent named Elliot Ness.
Federal rates, there we are.
Plain seltzer.
My goodness, you don't think I'd be drinking hoots.
Not a thing yet.
Coming down the stairs was the man who ran the mob while Capone was in jail. Frank Nitti, the enforcer.
Hello, boys. You got a search warrant?
These are friends of yours, Mr. Nitti?
They get lost. This is a private social club. It's open to members and their guests. Tell them, Counselor.
If you cause any damage to the premises, I'll have to file suit on behalf of Mr. Nitti.
Thank you, Counselor.
I thought you should be advised.
Find anything?
Not a drop. They must have cleaned up this place with blotting paper.
Who could have tipped them off?
Next time, let us know you're coming.
Okay, we might as well go.
Beep. Now, what was the payoff?
$1,000.
A grand? Stupid, or you could have bought it for 500.
On June 24th, 1 week after the unsuccessful raid on the Montmartre, Elliot Ness was summoned to the Chicago office of the new United States District Attorney, Beecher Asbury. The appointment was for 3 p.m.
Now, this is the Capone setup. $120 million a year pouring in from beer, booze, women, and gambling. Mainly from beer and booze. $35 million for protection being paid out each year. Now, before coming to Chicago, I conferred with President Hoover and the Attorney General. We decided there were two ways of getting Capone. One is to gather data to convict him of income tax evasion, and the other is to close down his breweries and distilleries and make it impossible for him to continue paying graft. Now, do you have any ideas on that?
Yes, I do.
Well?
We have 300 agents in the Chicago district, and the mob still has breweries all over the city. Even run their beer trucks right through the loop.
Why?
Because out of 300 men, some can be bought. All you have to buy is a few men.
What if you have a special squad? Small, operating on its own. Every man thoroughly investigated. Brought in from all parts of the country. Men who'll spit on Capone's graft. Just a few he can't buy. You think you can find these men?
I think so. Sad part is, I can't be sure.
Well, you're going to start looking for them.
On June 28, 1929, Elliot Ness arrived in Washington. He had full access to Prohibition Bureau files stored in the Treasury building. A simple assignment, given all available data about every agent in the Bureau. Find 6 or 7 out of these thousands who are reliable, courageous, dedicated, honest. 6 or 7 of the most honest men. At 8 o'clock on the night of July 5th, 1929, the men of the special squad met for the first time. 6 honest men. Lamar Kane of the Richmond Bureau, law school graduate, married, 2 children. Eric Hansen of the San Francisco Bureau, former guard in San Quentin's death row. Martin Flaherty, former Boston police officer, outstanding Bureau arrest record. New York's Jack Rossman, former telephone company lineman, now a wiretap expert. William Youngfellow, full-blooded Cherokee. Second team, All-American, 1924. Largely responsible for breakup of Oklahoma City Blues Ring. Tom Kopka, Scranton Bureau, former Pennsylvania State Trooper. World War I hero. Six honest men.
Some of you may have to familiarize yourselves with Chicago.
And a seven. Joe Fuselli.
Sorry, I'm waiting, Mr. Ness. Well, this is Joe Fuselli. He's not with the Prohibition Bureau, but he'll be working with us. Joe knows every street and alley in the city. He's got the finest pair of driving hands in Chicago. He also speaks the Sicilian and Neapolitan dialects.
Maybe you'd better tell him the rest, Mr. Ness.
Joe's an ex-convict. He served 5 years in Joliet for armed robbery.
Mark Kane. This is Hanson. Flaherty. Flaherty. Ross Osman.
Seven honest men against the underworld empire of Al Capone.
Oh, hello, boys.
Hello, Chick. Willie.
What's the word?
The federal boys have organized some kind of special squad just to take care of our setups.
No kid.
This time I hear they mean it.
Well, we ain't gonna let them get away with that, are we?
Of course not, Frank. We'll have the boys take care of it.
There you are. There's those extra $3,000 to cover those cops on the north side.
Alderman?
No.
Oh, you don't have to worry about this stuff.
No, my wife raises hob with me if I come home with liquor on my breath. I'm going to have to get another $1,000.
For what?
Well, some of the boys have been doing a lot of extra work clearing those feds for you.
That's their job.
Well, it's still extra work, no matter how you look at it. I'm not even going to get my commission on this deal.
$1,000 here, $1,000 there. Where are we going to come out?
Don't start holding us up.
They shot him out for you, didn't they?
Make sure it stays that way. Give him $1,000.
While Frank Nitti was making arrangements with Chicago police, Elliot Ness was having a rare date with Betty Anderson, a girl he had been going with for over a year.
Hello, dear. Stop dancing?
No.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Why?
You don't look as though you're enjoying yourself.
I'm sorry, honey. I try to put things out of my mind.
Try harder. No work tonight, remember?
Every time I see someone drinking a Capone booze...
No work tonight.
I'm like a woman to get your mind off things.
Depends on what things you're talking about.
You know, you're giving me ideas.
Is that wrong?
You don't know the ideas.
What do we have for dessert?
What do you want?
Something special.
Something special.
Poireling crepe Suzette's. It's a pretty fancy place, Mr. Ness. Cherry's Jubilee. What are they?
I'll ask.
No, let's just order them and find out.
You're on.
Excuse me.
Oh, Miss Anderson, this is Joe Fuselli.
Pleased to meet you. We got a setup.
I'm sorry, honey. We're going to have to postpone this Cherry's Jubilee. Waiter. Check.
The first Capone still, wrecked by the Ness squad, was in Chicago Heights. Knocking over one wouldn't begin to shake the Capone empire. But Ness intended to use this as a wedge to pry open some seams in the organization.
Come on.
You sure you're feds?
Yeah, we're feds.
Everything wrecked, 100%.
Get the hockey cans in the car.
You boys, what are you doing?
They're taking us in.
I've never seen you boys before.
Who are you?
Johnny Giannini.
What are you doing here?
Well, let's talk about that. You that new bunch of feds?
You heard about that?
Sure. Well, we want to cooperate with you.
How?
We've never been unreasonable in the past. What do you say we discuss it?
Okay, discuss it.
Let's just say, meanwhile, we put the right sugar in the coffee.
How much?
I got to talk to some. You meet me tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Pete Scaloni's up the block, okay?
8 tomorrow.
Hey, what about these friends of mine?
We're taking them in. You haven't forked over yet.
Get them in the cars.
You going to spring us, Johnny?
I'll send someone. You'll be home for breakfast.
Anytime.
See you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. We'll make you happy, boys. It's after 10 o'clock. I said 8 o'clock. What's the matter? You late? Where you been?
What do you got for us?
You know, boys, we got things fixed around here with the cops and the prohibition. So, we make it 100 each.
What do you got operating?
Not much cooking around here. That is about what it's worth. We all fixed up, huh?
100 is chicken feed.
Look, boys, I don't make the prices. This is what I was told to give you.
We gotta have more money, Johnny.
I can't give you anything.
Okay, Johnny.
Wait. You guys, you're making it tough on me. Now, wait, boys, please, wait. Sit down, huh? I gotta ask someone. Sit down, huh? Sure.
Hey, Pico, how are you?
Come on, so much.
I'm a little busy right now.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, how's the dog?
Bon. A bella.
Why, he knows me since I'm a little kid, you know.
Someone will see you. Someone big.
Who?
I can't tell you. It's a big one. He wants to see you.
Where?
There's a back room. We wait there. You guys, you don't know what you're doing to me.
Party's beginning.
You know?
Where's the guy we're supposed to meet?
He's coming.
Who's that?
Some monkey. He works for us.
Just came over from the other side. A monkey. He don't speak no English.
I've seen you before.
We hit your club Momart last month.
Oh, yeah. So now you're ready to do business.
I told them.
Shut up, you. How much do you want to lay off our stills?
About $1,000 a week.
You cops. You get more dough out of this than we do.
Okay, so become a cop.
Wait. I get about how much dough they're going to have to give you. We'll give you $400 a week.
That's top figure. How many cops are you paying off in the Heights?
Well, we're paying off...
See, today. Who we pay and what we pay is our business. We'll give you $500 a week. Jeannie and me will make the payoff.
$1,000.
You don't have to take any money. There's other ways to handle this.
$1,000.
Cornuto. A caccio una cotigliata di spante.
Just ask Eddie if he should stick the knife in your back.
Stop it!
Okay, $1,000.
To the Federal District Attorney's office.
$1,000.
Then, within the next week, the squad shut down 6 Capone distilleries. From this activity, Ness got expected results.
I gave him every cent. I didn't hold out. What do you think I am? Frank, why would I hold out? I gave it to him, every penny, every nickel, every time. Mamma mia. Mamma mia.
You get hold of those guys. You hold those guys, you tell them to lay off. Otherwise, you tell them there's going to be real trouble. Real trouble. Tell them.
Crazy or something? I got your deal.
Sure, Johnny.
Frank Nitti himself. He made it himself, and now you go knocking over the stills. Lay off, he says. He means it.
Still the small stuff. Stills we can find.
Six stills you knocked off. You guys, you know what you're doing to me? They worked me over already. Nitti is saying I double-crossed him. He says I'm holding out. You know what can happen to me?
It's happening, Johnny. I'm arresting you for bribery.
What do you want to do that for?
You gave us the money.
You're wasting your time. I'll be sprung before morning.
I know.
The minute they hear I'm booked, they'll...
I don't know where you are, Johnny.
My heart. I'll end up in a ditch, a hole in my head. You want me on your conscience?
You can buy your way out, Johnny.
You cops, you're all robbers. How much you want? Come on, tell me, how much you want?
Not a cent.
Great. I ask you, how much? How much?
The breweries. I told you, we're looking for something bigger than the still, something harder to find. We want the breweries.
How would I know where there's a brewery?
Johnny.
You think they tell me?
Okay, Johnny, let's go.
Hey, wait, wait. I know one. One. I tell you where it is. You help me out of town, okay? No double cross. A deal. One.
Where is it, Johnny?
The breweries were the heart of the Capone Empire, the heart and the Achilles heel. Stills producing booze could be set up quickly and inexpensively. Breweries represented great investments of time and money and very great profits. So they were artfully concealed and further protected by huge payments of graft. In the 11 months before the night of July 28th, not one Capone brewery had been touched by any law enforcement agency in Chicago.
Steel.
The guys that work the breweries put them away.
Capone can't make beer without brewmasters. We've got to think of some way getting through those steel doors on the first try.
All right, let's tear it apart.
I thought you ought to know about it. That Giannini we let get out of town, he got as far as Kansas City.
How do you know?
Because that's where they found him, lying in a ditch, his head blown off by a shotgun.
From the first raid on a Capone brewery, both sides learned a lesson. Frank Nitti ordered the steel doors guarding other breweries to be reinforced. Elliot Ness confiscated from the mob a powerful 5-ton truck. To its radiator was welded a thick steel shield.
No, it doesn't. Hold? Only one way to find out is to give it a try. Gotta go through steel, you know. Well done, real good.
All we have to do is locate a brewery.
In the first week of July, Elliot Ness's special squad began its attempt to locate Capone distilleries and breweries. For days, members of the squad cruise through Chicago, following trucks hauling sugar or cereal. Days of running down leads, piecing together information. Observation from rented rooms finally paid off in the location of one of Capone's biggest breweries on the south side of Chicago.
Hold it. Blink the lights four times.
Frank Carter, gunman. I heard Capone was bringing him in.
Well, in the middle of Steve's Vibota, Capone's ace brewer. This is going to hurt the mob.
Are you going to arrest me?
Sure thing.
I want to talk to my wife.
After we've taken you in.
What good is to arrest me? I'm only doing a job here, the only job I know.
Too bad the job's illegal.
All I know is to brew beer. What have I got to do with some stupid law that says people cannot drink beer?
I'm sorry I didn't...
Don't waste your breath on him. I'd like to see what happens to you when Al Capone gets out.
He'll be out, you'll be in.
Oh, sure. I'll do time reading your obituary.
Gazzelli, get him in the cars.
All right, let's move out here.
Okay, find a phone, call the marshal's office.
All right, let's go.
Someone guard these trucks to our garage.
Come on, come on.
Flaherty, check the office for records.
I can still read.
On the night of November 7th, 1929, a meeting took place in the office of Frank Nitti, above the Montmartre Café. The reason for the meeting. What to do to stop the activities of the special squad. What to do about Elliot Ness.
We're going to take a vote right now to see if we're willing to take a chance on killing this Elliot Ness. Did it your vote? Castro.
Mr. Ness? I'm George Ritchie. I'd like to join your squad.
Sit down, Mr. Ritchie. Martin, the records are on the table. Ritchie, you said you wanted to join my squad. What gave you that idea?
Well, I thought I could be useful.
You ever been an investigator?
No, sir, but
Did you happen to come here?
Well, Brandy, that's my wife. Well, she saw your picture in the paper, Mr. Ness. And she said to me, now there's a real man. Say, maybe you've seen my wife, Brandy LaFrance. Well, she's in burlesque. Look, Mr. Ness, I gotta do something to impress her. I gotta do something.
I'm sorry, I don't know how I can use you.
This is what we were talking about.
Suppose I could get inside the Capone mob.
How could you get inside?
Brandy's uncle is the mob's treasurer.
Jake Guzik?
Her real name is Barbara Guzik. Well, if she asked her uncle, he'd give me a job. You see?
I see. Why don't you try to get him to give you an inside job? That way, maybe you're some use to us.
Oh, I'll be a real undercover man, Mr. Ness.
Let us know what happens.
Goodbye, Mr. Ness. And thanks. Thanks.
Oh, he can't be for real.
Brandy LaFrance.
Suppose his wife really is Jake Guzik's niece.
Brandy LaFrance, the stripper?
Something for dessert, monsieur?
Cherry's Jubilee.
Oui, monsieur. Cherry's Jubilee.
Something's been on my mind.
I know.
For once, this has nothing to do with Al Capone. I bought something today. It's for you. I hope you'll accept it and me. I'm asking you now.
Well, did you think for a moment I'd refuse? Darling, I love you so much. For always. Oh, come on now. Put it on.
Excuse me, Mr. Ness. I saw you and... Listen, there's something I got to tell you, Mr. Ness.
Well, see me in my office tomorrow.
I think I better tell you about it now. It's got to do with Frank Nitti and you.
Excuse me, I'll go put on a new face.
So they had a meeting last night about rubbing you out. Most of them were in favor. But Frank Nitti said they'd have to wait for word from the big fellow until he gets out.
How'd you find me?
By accident. I'm out with my wife, Brandy. Over there.
No.
What? Oh, there she is, dancing. That's her cousin, Al Kennewitz.
Related to the whole Capone mob?
Ain't that the truth?
You can't be useful anymore. Not after Kenner seen you talking to me.
Oh, they know I know you. The first thing Jake Guzik said when I saw him today. He said, what were you doing with them lousy feds?
What'd you tell him?
I told him he gave me a job. And then I said, now I could work for the mob.
What would you do for the mob?
Well, as soon as you got to trust me, I could tell him in advance what you were going to do.
What does Al Kenner think you're telling me now?
Just what I am telling you.
Now, tell me one thing. Who will you be working for?
For you, Mr. Ness.
Suppose Jake Guzik asked the same question.
Well, I'd have to give him the same answer. But you can believe me.
There's some crazy reason I do. But I can use you. We'll set it up this way. You'll tell the mob that I bought your story and hired you. But you're ready to sell them information about me. Now, that's what you'll tell them.
Yes, sir.
I'll see to it that you know the things I want them to know, understand?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's just one thing. I don't want your murder on my conscience. Are you sure you don't want to do something else to impress Brandy? Like joining a trapeze act or playing Russian roulette?
No, sir.
Okay. I want you to start saving some going-away money. I'll put it in the bank, and I'll check the balance from time to time. One of these days, you might have to take a quick, long trip for your health.
When do you want to see me, Mr. Ness?
I'll let you know.
You know where to reach me?
I'll find that out.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're still engaged, aren't we?
You bet.
Cherry's Jubilee.
Rum, brandy.
Maybe it's legal, pre-war.
Pardon me?
I wish we had champagne, too.
So do I. But it's my business to see that we don't.
What a business. What is it? Elliot, what is it?
Something got left on our table.
Something got left on our table?
Hey, we're going to be married soon.
The dum-dum, a soft-nosed bullet designed to tear a hole in the victim. The favorite weapon of the Capone gang. It wasn't often that the Capone mob gave anyone such a warning. Even less often was such a warning ignored. Following the threat against Elliot Ness, it was decided to make an attempt, no matter how dangerous, to anticipate future moves of the Capone mob. The only way to do this was to try to tap the telephone of Frank Nitti, running the gang during Capone's term in a Philadelphia jail. So, disguised as trash collectors, Rossman and Kopka inspected the alley behind Nitti's office.
Tapping Nitti's phone is going to be the toughest job I ever had. The terminal box is on a pole in the alley.
The hoods are up and down the alley all the time, so I got to work fast.
Trouble is, that kind of terminal box has about 150 connections.
So you got to have someone talking on the phone whose voice you recognize. Otherwise, you don't know which terminals to bridge.
Would you recognize Nitty's voice?
Not sure. It'll have to be someone you know real well. Someone will have to get into Nitty's office and use his phone.
That's all?
That isn't all. You'll have to use it at an exact specified time at night, because I can't sit up on that pole for more than a couple of minutes. If they spot me up there, I'm a goner.
Maybe we can get an entrance card for the Momart.
Yeah, but Nitty's office is above the club.
And he hasn't invited us to use his phone.
The main problem is getting to the office.
The first step is to get inside the club. Nitty knows me, Fuseli, Kane. So?
I don't mind playing in Capone's backyard. Who's going to lend me a nickel so I can use the phone?
I want you to get a guest card for the Momart.
The Momart?
Can you do it?
Well, I guess I can. Who's it for?
Frank Morris.
Morris?
I'm out of town, Cleveland.
Who's he?
Me.
Oh, sure.
You'll take Frank to the Momart. Can you get your wife to go along?
Brandy? Oh, yeah, she loves to go out.
You'll tell Brandy the same thing you tell everyone else. If you know Frank, you know he's the right Joe.
Oh, I'll handle it. What's it all about?
You only have to know one thing, George. If you tip off the mob...
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
You'd better not. Because if anything happens to me, it'll happen to you, too.
Well, I'm on a level with you. Strictly on a level, I swear. This is real undercover stuff, huh? Play Brandy's song.
Barely Q in Cleveland, Mr. Morris?
Sure. What's a town without it, I always say.
That's what I always say.
Looks like we got something in common.
Yeah, we do. We sure do.
That's some song, huh? Hey, how do you like my friend from Cleveland?
Oh, I like your friend from Cleveland.
Oh, he's a swell guy. How do you like Brandy?
She's a dish.
You ain't kidding. You ought to see her at the Burlesque.
It's an idea.
Go in the afternoon. You get seats down front.
Come backstage after the show.
I think I will come backstage. Who's that coming down the stairs?
It's Tony Liguori. He runs the place.
How well do you know him?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Why?
Think you can get him to come over here?
Oh, well, I'm not too sure. I don't know.
Just tell Tony hello for me, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
What business are you in, Mr. Morris? I mean, Frankie. Georgie didn't say.
Georgie doesn't know.
I'll bet it's something.
Yeah, something.
You know who you ought to meet? My Uncle Jake.
Does Uncle Jake do something?
Does he? He's running the whole organization until Snorky gets back.
Snorky?
Al Capone. That's what they call him, Snorky.
Sounds cute.
Oh, he's not my type. My type is more like someone from Cleveland.
They grow him cute in Cleveland.
You're growing on me already, Frankie. What do you say? Why don't we ditch little Richie and get out of here, huh?
It's an idea. Let's have another drink. Take it out from here. Hello, Brandy.
Tony, this is Frank Morris from Cleveland. Frank, it's Tony.
How do you do?
How are you?
From Cleveland, huh? You know what he sent us from Cleveland?
Yeah, I knew him before the feds knocked him down to Atlanta.
You here on business?
No, just looking for fun.
Well, fun you can have if you know the right people.
I'm beginning to meet him. Sit down, I'll buy you a drink.
No, your money's no good here. I'll buy the drinks.
Charlie.
ought to go.
Me and Tony Liguori. He quizzed me about a mobster called Eddie Senos, and I knew him. I put him away.
You ask anything else?
He gave me all the answers I needed. We get along fine, Tony and me.
You think he let you in Eddie's room to make a phone call?
He just did. I wanted to make sure he would.
How about tomorrow night?
What time?
2 a.m.
Fine. But in case someone's breathing down my neck, I better be talking to a girl.
Here, call this number.
Who's that?
My fiance. She's expecting your call.
Okay. Oh, about that Brandy LaFrance. She wouldn't be too tough to swallow. Brandy, I get busy.
Well, anyone who's too busy to come to the... What kind of a guy are you? Don't tell me you're worried about Georgie.
You want to go home, Brandy?
Yeah, where do you want to go home? No, I don't want you calling me Brandy. My name's Barbara.
I'm sorry, Barbara.
Now, just one more time. Why don't you come to the theater?
I got busy. Would you excuse me for 5 minutes?
Where you going, Frankie? What are you looking at, you sap?
Superior 2098. Ah, hiya, baby. Frank Morris.
Oh, hello, Frank.
I've been meaning to call you ever since I got the shy, but I've been busy. You know how it is.
Yes, sir. That's perfectly all right.
I'll be over to see you the first chance I get.
You dirty double-crossing ape, you coming up here to
hello,
call
baby.
Listen to me.
I'm having a little trouble here, sweetheart.
Nothing like the trouble you're going to have if you don't stop playing me for a sucker.
I'm still here with you, sweetheart.
Still with who?
You in the right hook.
Hate to bother you at home.
Maybe this is hard to believe, but there's someone here.
You bet you there's someone here.
I'm still with you, baby.
Who are you talking to, you stinking little rat, you?
Don't hang up, baby.
Oh, come on, Frankie. What's she got that's any better than little Brandy's?
Baby, I'm still with you.
That's what you think.
You know, the faucet didn't work. The shoe... Come on, I'm sorry.
How's your sister, baby? Is she still working? I get news for her from a friend in Cleveland.
I'll fix your wagon and her sister, and you'll know what fraud, whoever you are.
Hey, what's going on here?
Well, I'm making this call.
No, you're not making this
call. Come on, cut it out.
Will you stay out of this, Teddy?
Hey, you're asking for it. Come on, get out of here. Get out of here. Come on, get out.
I'm going. Who needs you? I happen to have a very nice husband.
I'm still with you, baby. Come to the edge. Hey, let me talk. I'll fix it. Hello, honey. Frank's been telling me all about you, baby.
I wasn't on duty last night. Are you...
You cheap bum, what are you doing out here?
What do you think we're doing? We're just having a smoke.
I'll smack you all over the place.
Now, come on and start something, loudmouth.
Why don't you come down to the club, huh?
Oh, baby doll, it's so late.
Well, it's early. I'll send a car to get you, huh? Where do you live?
Leave him alone, Joe. Come on, you guys. Let's have a drink and forget it. I want to explain to you.
I'm dying to meet you, honey.
talk to Frank again?
He wants to talk to you. Hiya, baby. This is a swell guy I want you to meet.
He's an important man.
Well, how about tomorrow night? Like I said, this is one swell guy.
And I know you're gonna like him.
What do you mean you're leaving town?
Well, I'll be back in a couple of weeks, okay?
This guy won't keep for a couple of weeks. He's murdered with the dames. I'm not making up to any broad. Not even for a pal.
Forget it. You want a cigarette?
No.
Listen, Frank. I got a couple of fresh ones downstairs. Come on, let's set them up.
Then, after 9 days, the tap on Frank Nitti's phone paid off.
Here's a good one. They're opening a new brewery on South Wabash tonight.
Get there for the opening.
In the following weeks, using information gathered through the tap of Nitti's phone, Elliot Ness's special squad located and wrecked four more Capone breweries. Elliot Ness and his squad were succeeding in their job of choking off the most important source of all Capone revenues. But time was beginning to work against Elliot Ness. Time that had been measured in days, weeks, and months by a man 1,000 miles away. Finally, on March 19, 1930, having served 10 months in a Philadelphia jail for carrying a gun, Al Capone returned to Chicago and a very critical situation. First to headquarters for the organization in the Café Montmartre, where offices were maintained on the second floor. Here Capone presided over a meeting of the heads of his organization.
I've got some bad news, Al. We had some breweries knocked over. 8 to be exact. 3 on the south side, including 2 new ones we set up while you were away. 1 in the Heights, 2 on the north side. One of them we took over from Moran's. A big one out on Diversity, and another new one we set up on the county line.
What did that add up to?
We lost 3,850 barrels a day. But we're setting up a big new one out near the stockyards. Big enough to replace the loss.
How about the equipment? How much have we lost there?
I'm carrying that loss at $3,500,000 now.
What about our protection?
Well, Frank can tell you about that.
You tell me.
Our operating loss is going to make us have to cut down on a local graft. But we ought to be able to keep them looking the other way. It's these other guys, Al.
What other guys?
The feds have gotten up to special squad.
You tell me.
Well, it's a special squad, like Jake says. From all over the country, just to knock over our stuff.
How big's that squad?
Well,
how big?
7-8 guys.
7-8 guys.
But Al, that's...
7-8 guys. Punks! You two-bit punks. You louse, you stupid, you yell. Stinking of punks!
I'm away for 10 months! 10 months! And we got a problem with this, Ness.
Ness. Well, I've had plenty of problems, and I took care of them. So now I'm a back. And I'll take care of Ness. Al Capone. careful, Banyan. And a Weiss. And a Drugin. And a Janas, and a Moranz, and all the rest. And that's what's gonna happen to Ness.
Just 7-8 guys. While the mob heads met, Elliot Ness and his squad gave Capone their own welcome to Chicago. These men, specially selected from thousands in the Prohibition Bureau, were preparing to raid and wreck still another Capone brewery. The effect of this raid would soon be felt by the mob and by Elliot Ness.
I'm Ed Marriott. I've come to do a favor for some people in my ward. You too, Mr. Ness.
What's the favor?
You've never met Al Capone, have you?
Not face to face.
Well, he's got his points, the big fella has. Yes, sir, he's got his points.
And after all, if you get right down to brass tacks, what's he doing that's really wrong? Peddling some booze and beer? Now, can you sit there, Mr. Ness, and honestly say that you haven't had a drink since the Prohibition? Stick to Capone.
Well, for one thing, he's generous, if you know what I mean. Christmas time. You got any idea how many families he feeds? 10,000 families of the poor wouldn't have any Christmas at all if it wasn't for Al.
I never thought of it that way.
$100 to waiters because they're working men. $25 to hat check girls. Al likes to help people. You play it square with the big fella, he takes care of you.
Think he might want to take care of me another way?
I think he might.
Let's stop horsing around. How much?
$2,000. $2,000 a week.
Starting when?
Now.
Show.
$2,000.
This louse just tried to give us $2,000 a week. He's an alderman of the city of Chicago. Yes, scum. You're the worst scum of all. You make the Capones possible by selling him your office. Well, scum, I'm going to pin a bribery rap on you. I'm going to pin it to your stinking skin.
What are you going to use for evidence, huh? That look like a bribe, huh?
All right, let's go. Come on, alderman.
You should have slugged him.
He'd hang an assault charge on you. They'd keep you busy for weeks defending yourself.
You ain't the only one. We was driving along, car comes alongside, and a guy in a gray hat throws this in the back seat. We thought it was a Capone pineapple.
Turns out to be cabbage.
It's a lot of green. Makes you sweat to see all that, though. Kind of sticks to your fingers.
I see it sticking, Joe.
It'll peel off. Sure wish I could get that kind of dough legit.
Oh, I don't see it happening.
Who are you going to call?
The newspapers. This was thrown into one of our cars by some of Capone's mobsters. It's a bribe. It's a bribe that's going to the United States Marshal's office, and they won't buy anything from us. Capone has threatened us, and he's tried to bribe us, as he has most of the people of the city and county. Like most of them, we're a little tempted and a little afraid. We're not going to give in to Capone, not to his threats, not to his bribes. We're not going to be swerved from our duty. We want every citizen to help us by giving us information, by lending us support. We want everyone to know, especially Al Capone. We can't be bought off. We won't be killed off.
Today, Elliot Ness and his men have flung a challenge in the face of Al Capone. They have proved to Capone and his mob that they are untouchable. A few more untouchables are like them, and Chicago can be rid of them.
Chicago.
What's it taking so long?
You gotta find the right wires.
You stupid idiot! How could you let them tap your phone? You know what this is gonna cost me? Or to bleed it out of you drop by drop. Stupid.
D, E, F, G.
Stupid!
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q.
I don't get this. He's going through the alphabet.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, R.
They're breaking our wiretap.
H, I, J, K, L, M, P, Q, R, S, T.
Got it.
They got it.
Without the tap of the Capone outfit's private phone, Elliot Ness had now only one possible source of inside information about Capone's activities.
Hey, how are you? How are you? I say, does Mr. Ness know I'm out here?
He knows you're here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Hi, Mr. Rossman. How are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you. Hi.
His wife, Brandy, she's sporting a rock that big. Must be worth a couple of $1,000. And Richie, all you got to do is look at him.
He has a new car in Auburn, very flashy. Has a park around the corner.
All right, let's set it up.
Okay. Come on in, George.
Hello, Mr. Ness. Hi, how are you?
Sit down, George.
Well, that's a nice-looking suit you're wearing, George.
Oh, this?
Yeah, new, huh?
Well, yeah.
I'll take it down here, George.
I can come by the elf.
What about the car you got parked around the corner?
Where'd you get the money, George? Where'd you get the money?
Huh? Well, you made some money on the stock market.
The bottom's dropped out of the stock
market. Well, I didn't say
what's the name of your broker?
It's just a friend of Brandy's uncle, that's all.
Oh, Jake Music's investment.
Oh,
boy,
no,
huh?
I did not exactly that. I
played
him.
Ball with a mob, George. Oh,
what? Instead of crossing. I swear I haven't done anything like that.
Sir, what'd you tell him? What'd you give him?
Look, all I did was...
All you did was what, George?
Look, all I did was just promise.
Promise what?
I just find out what you're going to do and let them know, that's all. But I wasn't going to do it.
Why don't you cut it out?
No, honest, I wasn't.
The mob never pays before delivery, George. Would you deliver? What was it? What?
Oh, I... Just names and addresses, that's all.
Whose?
It was just yours.
Come on.
There was just some others, that's all.
And what else?
Nothing. Nothing else. I didn't do nothing. I just...
What else?
Nothing else.
What else?
All right, I just drew a plan of the office, that's all.
What else?
That's all.
What else?
No, that's all. Now, that's all. Nothing else.
What else?
I swear, nothing else. I swear. Look, I just promised whatever they asked, that's all. I just promised. I just promised.
George, listen. Now you're going to do something for me.
Oh, Mr. Ness, I'm on your side.
I heard rumors a mob has a brewery up.
A real big one, the biggest.
No, George,
you must have heard about it.
Nothing definite. Nothing
Where's
definite
the brewery, George?
Where is it?
I don't know.
Where's the brewery?
What do you mean you don't know?
Where is it?
I don't know.
George!
Suppose you let the mob know how you managed to tap their phone. Suppose you let them know how you got our man into the Momart.
You wouldn't do that, Mr. Ness.
Why can't we?
They'd kill me in a minute. They'll let me have it.
We know.
Look, Mr. Ness, give me another chance. We'll be on a level with you in the future.
Too late,
I swear,
too late. Too late.
Where's the big brewery,
George? I don't
know.
I don't. All right. Yeah, just they got one. They're getting half their beer from it. But I don't know exactly what it is. I just don't know. All I know is that... Look, it's somewhere near the stockyards. Now, that's all I know. Now, you got to believe me about that. Look, I swear. Please believe me. Look, I swear.
George, you're going to do one more thing, then you're through.
We'll take you away someplace safe. You're going to find out where that brewery is.
How am I going to do that, Mr. Ness?
From Uncle Jake.
Two nights later, George Ritchie and his wife, Brandy, had dinner with Brandy's uncle, Jake Guzik. Ritchie tried to get information from Guzik about the location of the Key Capone Brewery.
Why, you got a big setup the feds will never find. I heard you'll cover up, huh?
You heard?
Yeah. Where is it anyway? You can tell me. I mean, you don't have to keep any secrets from me.
Georgie, eat your soup.
Yeah, Georgie, eat your soup.
Yes, Brandy.
Much later that same night, George Ritchie waited in the wings of a State Street burlesque theater for Brandy, his wife, to finish her act.
Lights, Jack Horner.
Georgie, we got something to discuss with you.
Yeah? Well, can we wait till Brandy gets through? I try never to miss her act.
Well, you want to miss it tonight, Georgie. Snorky wants to see you. Got something real important he wants you to do for him.
Al Capone? He wants to see me? He's got something important for me.
Real important, Georgie. He's going to make a big man out of you.
No kidding. Miss Brandy's finished. Snorky, that's important. That's something, huh?
Good. Come on, George.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. We should get through in a couple of minutes.
Snorky is waiting for you.
Come on, let's go.
Miles from the theater, Betty Anderson had just received a late telephone call from her fiancé, Elliot Ness. They made arrangements to have lunch the following day. In a happy frame of mind, Betty Anderson was ready to go to sleep.
Who is it?
Nightwife, Betty Anderson.
What?
The nightwife, Betty Anderson.
Sadistic, rotten little coward.
Well, how do we let them get away?
They hide behind crooked cops, corrupt politicians. They hide behind their guns. Now we're making them come out. They're afraid. That's why they have to try to frighten us, like breaking into your room.
Hello? Yes, Mrs. Betty Anderson. What? What did you say?
I said, baby, I've been thinking about you. You look pretty good. Maybe I'm coming back with some of the boys.
Betty, what is it? Tell me, what is
it? He said they're coming back. He said they're coming here again. Elliot, please don't let them go back. Please.
Baby, we got disconnected, and I'm going to make a connection.
You stinking little rat. I'm going to get you and tear you limb from limb, you lousy little yellow rat.
Or at you, Ness. We got plans for you too, Ness. The boys are going to have a real party.
You told him enough.
They'll never get at you, I promise you. This, I promise. We're getting married now. We're not waiting.
You mean tonight?
Go across the line to Indiana. Get a justice of the peace.
Is this because of the phone call?
There's a lot of things because of the phone call included. So I'm not sure what's going to happen from now on. I don't want to wait, do you?
Oh, no. I want to be with you.
Better get ready, honey.
By the authority vested in me by the state of Indiana, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Good wishes, my dear.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Joe.
I know you're both going to be very happy.
Thanks, Joe. We will be.
God bless you.
Mr. Franz, you know who it was who killed your husband, don't you?
No, I don't know. I don't know why anyone would want to kill Georgie. He was a real nice guy.
We think the phone mob did it.
Don't you want to help us?
No. Uncle Jake wouldn't let them kill him. He wouldn't do anything like that.
Are you sure that the last time you saw him was back in the wings?
He was watching me do my number. He was always watching me do my number. That's my cue. The last time I danced, he was standing right there in the wing. Why would anyone want to kill poor George? Such a nice little guy.
If George Ritchie's tip was right, Capone's big one is somewhere in here. We're going to have to check out every building above and below ground, see if someone, resident, merchant, anyone, can give us a lead.
Fat chance.
We'll take that chance. Joe, you know some people in that district?
Know a few.
Let's get something from them.
I'm on my way.
All right, Hanson, you and young fellas start covering all garages. Keenan and Faraday will cover all stores and food suppliers. Kopka, Rossman start checking all residents near speakeasies. You got to get a breakthrough somewhere and fast.
Maybe there is this brewery, but I don't know nothing about it. Who going to tell me?
Mr. Pico, you remember the old days? You and my old man, you were very good friends, you remember?
Yeah, I remember. You were always very nice to me, Joe. But
I just thought maybe you heard something, that's all.
When I work, I'm a deaf. I don't want to see, I don't want to hear, I don't want to know.
Can't you just hear this one thing? Do me a favor.
Well, this a favor I wouldn't do, even if I could. You ought to know that, Joe.
Okay.
Stay, have a glass of red, Joe.
Can't, I'm working.
You ain't sore at me. I don't know nothing. This is honest truth. You're the only guy nicer to him, Joe. He likes you. He don't take to people, but he likes you. Dog's got a good instinct, Joe. They know.
Say, why don't you go down to the house next week? Have dinner.
That's nice. I'll bring a bottle of red. The real stuff from my other side.
You bring that bottle, I'll break it over your head. Can't you get it through your thick skull? I'm working for the government.
Yeah. I'll bring it, Joe.
Never mind that. Here. Take this in.
The mafia ritual known as the kiss of death. The man being ceremonially kissed by the others in this room had been chosen to commit a murder.
You home, boss? Why don't you and the bride go away for a couple of days and relax? Get everything off your mind.
I will when this is over.
Well, if we can knock over this big brewery, it might be over sooner than you think.
We gotta locate it first.
We will.
Joe, three guys like you are an army.
Three guys? Two guys.
You want to come up for a minute?
No, no. You give my best to your bride. What time will I pick you up in the morning?
8:30.
You got it. Watch it.
Joe Fuselli was dying on a Chicago street. Al Capone was dining, visible to scores of people, in a Chicago nightclub.
Frank. Hey, dancer. Dancer.
Hey, kid, you're good. You're gonna go blazy.
Yeah. This'll help you on your way.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Capone. Thanks a million.
What's your name?
Dolly.
Father, you hit the sand. Joe was my friend. Never laughed at me. Never pushed me around.
What did you see, Pico?
Thank God, let him get away with the killing joke. I would have known they were going to kill Joe. I'd have grabbed a knife and ripped it myself.
Who are they?
It was in it. Frank in it. And Walt. And the aunt. And the big fellow was there.
Capone?
Rude.
What do they do?
Macho de morte. You know what that is? Kiss of death.
Which one did they kiss?
Jimmy Napoli was the one. Nettie, Walter, and the aunt. They sent Jimmy Napoli.
Who's Jimmy Napoli?
From Brooklyn, the torpedo. I lied to you. The last thing I said to him, alive, alive. He asked me where Capone is a big brewery. I lied. I didn't know. But I just know where it is. They're going to tell you, too.
Thanks. Pico, we're going to take you somewhere where you'll be safe.
Come on. We'll take good care of you, Pico. What's going to be with my dog? Who's going to take care of my dog?
Thank you, Dr. Pico.
Thanks.
Oh.
Joe.
You, Sally.
Who? Say, who are you guys anyway?
Better, old man. Where were you all night?
You run my life.
Hasn't been slept in.
Come on, Natalie.
What's the rap?
Come on.
Wait a minute. I gotta get dressed.
Just put your coat on.
You got nothing on me. I was playing poker with six other guys until an hour ago.
Don't you like a dunk? I'm right in the face like Joe Fuselli.
I was playing with my friends till an hour ago. I'm telling you. They'll back me up. You can't touch me. Say, who is this Joe Fuselli?
You mentioned him again.
To safeguard the only witness who could definitely link Al Capone with the murder of Joe Fuselli, Ness made arrangements to keep Angelo Pico under guard in a cell in Chicago's city jail.
We don't want to lock you up, but this is the best place. Later we'll take you somewhere out of town.
Please. Don't keep it too long.
Just until you testify against Napoli and Capone.
Not too long.
I'll be close by, Pico.
Within 2 hours of the arrest of Jimmy Napoli, Al Capone forestalled his own arrest by appearing at the office of Deputy Police Commissioner Howard. With him was the mob's attorneys.
Well, Commissioner. I heard you was looking for me.
That's right, Al.
We have a few things to ask you.
That's why I'm here.
Before you ask any questions, it's understood that Mr. Capone is here of his own free will. Just what is the charge in connection with which you wish to question Mr. Capone?
About the murder of a federal agent.
When did this alleged homicide occur?
1:15 this morning.
At that hour, Mr. Capone was dining at the 318 Club.
How do you know?
We can produce a number of reliable witnesses to attest to that.
I'll bet you can. We have a witness, too.
You didn't kiss Jimmy Napoli for fun, did you, Al?
Who's this at Jimmy Napoli?
Give me the city jail.
Once again, a man who could have testified for the state had been silenced. There could now be no way of proving that Capone had hired Jimmy Napoli to commit murder.
Make a statement, Al. Come on,
Al. Relax.
Yeah. Everything that happened in Chicago, they say Al Capone did. They try to make me the goat. Now, you fellas know that all I ever did was to sell it to the best of people. Maybe that includes some of you boys, huh?
Hey, another statement, Al.
Hey, you wanted some more pictures there?
This is going to be the big one. We'll need about a dozen more men, the best you can get for us. But I don't want them to know what they're going out on. I just want them to meet us at the warehouse at midnight sharp. I'll lay it out for them then, but not until then. I don't want to take any chances on a tip-off. All they have to know is to meet us at the warehouse at midnight sharp.
At midnight, a rendezvous was made with other agents in the warehouse used by Ness's squad. The men were briefed on their assignments.
Just to help you find the way, I'm putting one of my own men on each of the cars. They'll be in charge after we get inside. You don't know the layout, but you'll be able to size things up fast. If there's any resistance, let them have it. Any questions? Let's go.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Number, please.
Calumet 6098.
Hotel Lexington.
Put me through to Capone's rooms.
Just a moment, sir.
Yeah?
Let me talk to Capone.
Who's calling?
Just tell him Elliot Ness.
Mario, chiamo al telefono, importante. Presto, presto!
Al, telefono, Al! Al, gli stanno telefono!
Marco,
ma che sei un telefono importante?
It's Elliot Ness.
This is Al Capone.
I just talked over your new brewery down at the stockyards.
What?
Look out your window at exactly 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
What is this?
Take a look and see what we got for you, Snorky.
What are you talking about? You talk a straight or I'll jam this phone down your throat!
What are you going to do?
I'll make sure Al Capone never forgets Joe Fusilli.
See anything?
Another thing. It's some bluff, Al. That's all it is. A guy shooting off his mouth.
Yeah?
That's all, Al.
What about the brewery?
Well, maybe we got to set up out of town.
Where?
Well,
where?
Maybe we can go over the line.
Over what line?
Into Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin may be okay.
Okay, you talk, but they're closing me down, and you talk.
Al.
At exactly 11 o'clock, the funeral procession of Joe Fuselli passed under the windows of Al Capone's suite in the Lexington Hotel.
Just one of our funeral.
There are beer trucks.
Following the hearse was truck after truck confiscated by Elliot Ness and his squad in their raids on the Capone breweries. These trucks, which might have been delivering Capone beer, were instead delivering a message of defiance to Al Capone. With Capone's power to frighten and corrupt diminishing, people began to give information. With the assistance of Elliot Ness, U.S. Treasury agents started to put together the mosaic of an income tax evasion case against Al Capone.
Elliot, we've got Al Capone.
You sure?
And we've been working on this night and day for the last 2 weeks. He's going to plead guilty.
Why isn't he fighting?
My office is entering a recommendation for leniency.
You're kidding.
Well, the arrangement's all been worked out with the approval of the Attorney General.
Leniency for Capone? Or Al Capone? Is that what we've been knocking ourselves out for? To let Al Capone off?
Well, Elliot...
Is that why Joe Fuselli got killed? For what? To advertise a man can get away with murder?
Well, how do you think I feel about this? I came here to put Capone away for good, but this is all we've got. It's the best we can do.
The records, the data.
Not enough to make sure of conviction. If we try Capone and we don't convict him, we can't try him again. It's too great a risk. If we put him away for a while, then maybe we can finish the job of wrecking him. We've got to take what we can get, Elliot.
Just what do we get?
2 years.
2 years.
Well, that's the best we could bargain for. I feel sick about it, Elliot.
2 years for Capone. After all this, 2 years. What a joke. What a lousy, lousy...
Finally, on July 30th, 1931, Al Capone entered a plea of guilty to income tax evasion charges in the Federal District Court, presided over by Judge James H. Wilkerson.
Will the two counsels approach the bench, please? A plea of guilty is a full admission of guilt. If the defendant asks leniency by throwing himself on the mercy of this court, he must be prepared to answer all proper questions put to him by the court. If the defendant expects leniency of this court, he must take the witness stand and testify on what grounds he expects leniency.
The federal district attorney said that if a plea of guilty was entered, he would make a commitment about the length of the sentence.
I will decide the length of sentence. No prior agreement binds this court.
Will it stand trial?
The defendant withdraws his plea of guilty. He will stand trial on charges.
The defendant will approach the bench, please.
After a trial lasting 3 months, Al Capone was convicted On November 24th, 1931, Judge James H. Wilkerson pronounced sentence.
It is the decision of this court that the defendant, Alphonse Capone, shall pay a fine of $56,000. And that he shall serve a term of 11 years in the federal penitentiaries. He is forthwith remanded to the custody of the United States Marshal.
After exhausting every legal delay, on May 5th, 1932, Al Capone was taken from Chicago to start serving his sentence. Between Elliot Ness and Al Capone, no word had ever been exchanged, except for the brief telephone conversation preceding the funeral of Joe Fuselli. Ironically enough, absorbed with the thought of the long years of prison before him, Al Capone did not recognize the man staring at him. Ness was occupied with the thought of the long years of struggle ahead to destroy the remnants of the Capone organization. And so Al Capone disappeared from view, to be replaced by other racketeers, more subtle, even more destructive. Against this new breed of racketeer, who are managing to steal, extort, divert, and pervert almost 10% of the income of the people of the United States, Elliot Ness fought until his death in 1957. Al Capone is dead. Elliot Ness is dead. But the struggle between the Capones and the Nesses, witnessed by a public that remains dangerously indifferent, goes on and on.